الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وأشرف المرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وصدق إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. وقال تعالى: ومن يبتغ غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. وقال تعالى: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama kiram, elders and brothers, once a Yahud and Jew came up to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he mentioned to him that there is such a verse and ayat that has been revealed upon you. إِنَّكُمْ تَقْرَؤُونَ آيَةً لَوْ نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْنَا لَتَّخَذْنَاهُ عِيدًا. You people recite such a verse in the Qur'an Majid. If that same verse was revealed on us, Yahud, we would have made the day a day of Eid and celebration. Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, which verse are you referring to? He said, I'm referring to the verse that you read, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that today, on this day, the day of Arafah, I have completed your deen. I have completed and perfected your deen. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And my favor and bounty has been fulfilled. It's been done. And وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَا. Me, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have chosen Islam to be your deen. Is it this verse which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares the perfection of Islam, the completion of His favor, and Allah ta'ala choosing Islam for me and you? That's the day of Eid we would have celebrated. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, let alone the verse, I even know the exact time, precise time when this verse was revealed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waqifun bi Arafah, ashiyat Arafah, on the day of Arafah. It was in the late afternoon. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was seated on his camel and observing the rise of Arafah. And then this ayat was revealed to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And watilahuma lana eid. It's a double eid for us. It was the day of Jumu'ah also. And also it was the eid of Arafah also. Beloved brothers and respected elders, what a great ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has blessed you and I with. In the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have completed your deen. Yani all the laws of Islam has been completed. On the day of Arafah, the final hukam and pillar of Islam, which was Hajj, was completed. From the day of Arafah till the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were just about 81 or 82 days, plus minus. And no other verse regarding the rules of Islam was revealed in that time. Small, minor issues revealed, but not any complete law of deen. So the day of Arafah signifies and signals the completion of our deen. And the second part of the verse, وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. My bounty is complete. What is the bounty of Allah? Number one, hidayat. Allah Pak has given you and I hidayat. Allah Ta'ala has put us onto the sirati mustaqim, on the straight path. The next meaning of ni'mat and favor is tawfiq, the ability to come in the masjid. Every ability which Allah is giving us to fulfill His commands is a tawfiq of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed وَهَدْمُ مَنَارَاتِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ, all the pillars of jahiliyyah and ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completely wiped it out. And Islam is clean from all kinds of customs of jahiliyyah and ignorance. The day of Arafah, which is today, is a day of appreciation. It's a day you and I have to show our shukr to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that Allah Ta'ala has blessed you and I with hidayat. It's a day of Arafah. Arafah means recognition, to recognize and understand what Allah Ta'ala has given us. It's a time to reflect and appreciate the ni'mat of hidayat and deen. What is the meaning of deen? How do you translate deen? How do you understand the word deen? Hazrat Imam Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, may Allah fill his qabr with nur. He said, deen ka maana, zindagi ka guzarna khudai tariqe par. Our whole life should be spent in the way that Allah Ta'ala wants us to spend it in. This is called deen. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in another verse says, inna deen indallahi al-islam. The deen which Allah Ta'ala accepts only, the acceptable deen to Allah is that we submit ourselves to the command of Allah. Our whole life from morning till evening is spent in submission to Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Any kind of way of life other than the path which Allah Ta'ala has stipulated upon us cannot be called deen. We can call it a custom. We can call it a festivity. We can call it a tradition. We can call it a show. But we cannot call it deen. Because the criteria of deen is the criteria which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has set upon us. So this is Islam and submission. To submit totally to the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at these three ibadat that we are going to, the ibadat of Arafah. And Alhamdulillah, the Hujjaj have spent the Arafah and would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let them accept their wukuf. Say Ameen, brothers. May Allah accept the wukuf. And whatever du'as they made, may Allah accept it in our favor also. If you look at Hajj and the day of Arafah, likewise the act of Qurban and sacrifice, all these are interlinked. They have one common thread between them, and that is the thread of submission. A Haji has got no choice over the kind of clothing he wants to wear. He has to submit. There's only two stipulated pieces of clothing for a Haji. For the males, it is the top piece and the bottom piece. That's the clothes he's going to use for the 5 days of Hajj. He's got no control over the footwear he's going to wear. He has to wear a particular kind of footwear that must suit the laws of Hajj. And then if you look at the whole tatib and the whole sequence of Hajj, it's just submission and submission and submission. Because he is there on the plains of Mina, Arafat and Muzdalifah to please Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the maqsad. Allah is the object. At times the beloved, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, Haji, you must present yourself in Mina. He runs to Mina. After spending a day in Mina, the beloved Allah summons him, and I want you to come to Arafah. Arafah is about plus minus 12 kilometers from Mina. The Haji has no choice. He has to go to Arafah. After spending a long day of wukuf in Arafah, where he's now obviously tired for the entire day, Allah Ta'ala says, oh Haji, you're not going to sleep in Arafah. I'm waiting for you at Muzdalifah. I'm waiting for you in Muzdalifah. He's got no choice. He will have to leave Arafah. If he says, oh Allah, I'm not leaving Arafah. Arafah is too blessed for me. Your Hajj is going to be defective. Your Hajj is going to be faulty. You now come to Muzdalifah. And Muzdalifah is sleeping under the open skies. Then now instead of having a long sleep and another day of rest, Allah says, no, Haji, I'm calling you back in Mina now. Come back to Mina where you started from. You have to come back to Mina. After you come to Mina, Allah Ta'ala tells him that, look now, I'm waiting for you in Makkah to perform your tawaf of ziyarah, which is a farz of Hajj. So the whole cycle of a Haji is submission and submission and submission. Even certain sunnats are also waived of him. If he has to practice those sunnats, it will incur a penalty on his part. For example, the sunnat of itar and perfume is the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but he is not permitted to put itar. If he has to apply itar on his entire organ, a penalty is prescribed upon him. It's a crime in that condition. But you say itar is sunnat. Allah Ta'ala says, Sharia says, no. In the deen, indallah, in Islam, submission to Allah, there's a penalty. To cover the head in ibadat is sunnat. To cover the head in ibadat is sunnat. It has been a continuous sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but in Hajj, the sunnat is waived off him. If you have to cover his head, there's a penalty that is payable upon him. Likewise, if you have to look at Qurbani. Qurbani also is a lesson of submission. The type of animal that we want to slaughter is not in our control. That is chosen by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the age of the animal is also stipulated. The time is also stipulated. Every part of Qurbani, and the animal itself is teaching us the lesson of Qurbani and sacrifice. That listen, I am an innocent animal. I am only giving my life to you. Allah Pak has given control to you over me because I am teaching you the lesson of submission. I am submitting to your knife. Oh insan, you are faultful. Learn a lesson from a faultless soul of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every being, living being loves its life. The animal says, look, I am teaching, I am an innocent animal. But I will submit to Allah, my meat is halal for you. You decide how you want to eat it. My meat is halal for you. You also submit your desires and your ego for Allah Rabbul Izzat. Respected brothers and elders, tomorrow is the day of Qurbani. Everyone looking forward to the day of Qurbani. But the thing to learn from Qurbani is the lesson of Qurbani. Qurbani actually means taqarrub ila Allah, drawing close to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned earlier, in the path which Allah ta'ala has stipulated, here there is no choice of ours. We are told to submit to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we have to introspect, what is our understanding of Qurbani? Do we take the lesson of submission? On the other hand, if we have to introspect, we find our understanding of Qurbani is something totally different. To us, Qurbani means getting a classy kind of animal. Animal which is classy. Even if the bumper is missing, and if the tail is missing, it's okay. Long as the animal stands tall and right. Many fuqaha have mentioned, it is a view of the majority, that an animal without a tail is a defective animal. An animal without a tail, in the time before in South Africa, there was the issue of getting animals without tails. At that time, the ulama had looked at the circumstances and given a different fatwa. In this time and an age, when animals are available with tails, then we should not be slaughtering animals without tails. The animal should be complete. So our understanding of Qurbani is that if the animal is big and is standing out and it can fit into a camera and we can video it and we can send pictures out, that is our understanding of Qurbani. Likewise, if in our Qurbani, there very sadly there is intermingling of males and females, it's fine. Aliyaz billah, it's fine to us because this is how my understanding of Qurbani is. If a person is slaughtering big animals, he has defaulted in paying his creditors and making them cry for their money. To us it doesn't matter. My Qurani is that I will slaughter this animal, which is videoed, which is photographed, with the intermingling of males and females. Respected brothers and elders, we have to understand, is this the Qurbani which Shariat wants from us? Is the Qurbani which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us? And here I would like to even mention to the elders of the family, you have a responsibility. It is your responsibility. This is not the masail of the ulama, but it is a law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to observe the necessary hijab and parda. Many a times in good homes, sadly, there is an innocent youngster who wants to follow the deen of Allah. He wants to observe parda and hijab. Or there is a young girl who is shari conscious. He wants to observe hijab, and then the rest of the family say, but you are spoiling the day. You are spoiling the fun. You are breaking the family. And you are separating us. Aliyaz billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the deen of Islam as a deen of joining. Any kind of unity that which is not merited on the merit of Islam is not deen. Any kind of association, getting together, which is not on the standard of deen, cannot be called deen. Look in the examples of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll mention a few examples. Hazrat Maymuna radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Ummi Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, once they were sitting with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In the same gathering, a sahabi approaches and he is blind. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiyallahu ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told the two Mubarak blessed wives, ihtajiba minhu. Listen, both of you go cover yourselves, screen yourselves. The sahabi has walked in, going to hijab. So both the Azwaji Mutaharat asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Alisa huwa a'ma la yubsiruna. Hazrat, what to andhe hai, aankhon se mazoor hai. He cannot see Hazrat. Why we have to make hijab from him? There were understanding the masla we have to be that the male shouldn't see the females. But it never crossed their mind that female also have to observe hijab. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the reply he gave to them. Perhaps you'll have been out there and say, you know what, you are too rigid, or you're too hard, or you're making deen more difficult. Ye maulvi masla banate. Arey bhai, maulvi masla nahi banate, maulvi masla batate. We say, bhai, these maulanas come with all the new maslas. Bhai, maulanas don't make maslas. Their job is to explain the masail of deen. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, Alaysan tuma, alastuma tubusiranihi. Afam yawani antuma, alastuma tubusiranihi. If he is blind, are you also blind? Look at the words to put on answer and jawab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Afam yawani antuma, can't you see him? From here the ulama mentioned that because this issue of fitnah is also prevalent from the woman's side, women also have to make hijab from men. And where this fitna is inevitable, then this act will be non-permissible for men to look at women. It will also be non-permissible for women also to look at men. This is the Islam that, this is the teaching of Qurbani, submission to the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one example, another example, Hazrat Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. And I want to view both these examples in the environment that it took place. It was in the mahal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can we ever even imagine an evil thought in the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Absolutely not. In the very masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the very company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, unimaginable. Unimaginable that these things could happen. Hazrat Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He's with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the plains of Mina. It's the occasion of Hajj. And it's an occasion, he's not in an ordinary company, he's in the company of Ustazul Asatra, the highest teacher on earth, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In what condition? In the condition of Ihram. He's wearing the clothes of Ihram. The day is Mubarak, the company is Mubarak, everything is Mubarak. One young lady comes up to ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam a question regarding Hajj. She was from the Bani Khasam tribe, and she came to ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about the Hajj of a very aged father who couldn't make it on animal. He couldn't ride because he was very, very frail and weak. If she could make Hajj on his behalf. And that's normal when somebody just comes up all of a sudden. So, innocently you will stare at the questioner. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam realized that his young cousin was also a very handsome young boy. He is looking at this woman unintentionally, innocently. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with his Mubarak hand, puts his hand on his face and turns his face away. Turns his face away, that father don't look in this direction. And the jawab that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave after that is that on this day, those who will protect his ears, his eyes and tongue will be forgiven. So father, although this occasion of Hajj, but then again, fitna and mischief is inevitable. Even on the plains of Arafah also shaitan is doing his work. On the plains of Mina also shaitan is doing his work. This was the lesson of submission that was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the first thing, is to adjust our qurbani environment. Let the qurbani environment be adjustable according to the mizaj of deen, to the temperament of deen. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And that the elders in the family exercise the right, which, the power which Allah has given you, with hikmat and wisdom and diplomacy, enforce the laws of Shariat, not as we are forced to do it, but with love and muhabbat that my success is in this command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next thing we need to clean environment from is the environment of videography, photography, and of the Qurbani animal. If you have to look at the father of Qurbani, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what lessons of ikhlas and sincerity we can learn from his life. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to an environment which was completely barren. Completely barren. No vegetation. He was told to leave his wife, Hazrat Hajar radiallahu ta'ala, and his young son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And after a period of time, Allah Rabbul Izzat asked him to build his house. The Baytullah, the Kaabatullah was built by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. What acknowledgement did they ask from the Ummah of Nabi Ali or from the people at large? And absolutely no acknowledgement. There was no one there also. Hardly any people around to acknowledge their efforts. But they done it with the utmost humility and utmost ikhlas and sincerity. In fact, they made dua, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Oh Allah, please, Ya Allah, this little effort of ours, please accept it. Please accept it, oh my beloved Allah. And وَجْعَلْنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. Oh Allah, make us a ummah that is submissive to you. An ummah that is submissive to you, which will submit to your commands, submit to the ways of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look at what acceptance Allah Ta'ala gave to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and Sayyidina Ismail's efforts. The world runs there today. Everyone runs to a place whose foundation stone layers wanted no accreditation from anyone, no acknowledgement from anyone. And they built one of the greatest buildings on earth, the Kaabatullah. And look at the acceptance Allah Ta'ala has put into the hearts of mankind. Okay, people are prepared to pay any amount of fees and money to reach Kaabatullah. Likewise, we also, this animal that we are sacrificing, we don't need acknowledgement from anyone. We don't have to put it onto our statuses. We don't have to look for likes to acknowledge our animal of Rabbani. Our niyat and Allah Ta'ala is full aware of it. Our niyat and intention between Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and us, Allah Ta'ala is well aware of it. Allah Ta'ala save us from this fitna of videography. And photography, unfortunately, has become a disease in the ummah. There is hardly any ibadat also can take place without photography. And without being photoed, without being advertised. Dear brothers and respected elders, this goes against the dua that we recite before Qurbani. What do we say? We say, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati lillah rabbil alameen. Oh Allah, my salat that I make before you, wa nusuk, my sacrifice, which I'm doing for you. Oh Allah, my living and my dying is for you. Lillahi rabbil alameen. La sharika la. Allah, you have no partner. You have no associate. Oh Allah, my intention is purely for you. Then why do we need acknowledgement? Why do we need someone to see the videos of it? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. So this is the day of Arafah. It's a day of reflection. Recognizing, as a slave of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, am I fulfilling the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as I'm supposed to? Especially on this occasion of Qurbani. And one more thing, which is very, very important. We spoke regarding the aspect of making sure that the environment of Qurbani is also conducive to Shariat. Must be conducive. Male should be on their designated areas. Female should be on their designated areas. Like the ulama mentioned, if the female wants to perform her own Qurbani, but the environment is not conducive, because of the excessive intermingling, it is better for her to stand aside and let Mahram do the Qurbani. Because why? To do the Qurbani with your own hands is mustahab, but to stay away from haram and to stay away from disobeying the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is farz and compulsory. The second we spoke about is that our amal should be completely sincere for Allah. No videography, no photography, us and Allah and Allah. And see the acceptance of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it inshallah. The third thing, which is very, very important, which is also one of the sunnahs of the khutbah of Eid, is to explain to people the actual Qurbani itself. We know that Qurbani is a great ibadat. And there are certain things that relate to Qurbani which only a person that has a strength can carry it out. Many a times, just for the sake of fun, so that a young person can be seen slaughtering a great animal, but he doesn't have the muscle, he doesn't have the strength, it is not permissible in Shariat. To make the animal suffer, because it's a young boy, it hardly has any strength in his hand to hoist himself up, but he's making qurbani of this animal, and slaughtering and slaughtering and slaughtering, and this animal is suffering, it is accountable in the court of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not a masala of permissibility and non-permissibility for such a youngster who cannot make qurbani, he cannot slaughter. It is advisable that somebody more senior take charge of the qurbani. In the past, we have heard of so many incidents. Remember, respected brothers and elders, that animal also is going to give testimony in our favor in the court of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, that Hadith Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the animal qurbani will come with his horns and his hoofs and his meat to be weighed on the scales. This animal also will give shahada against the one that slaughtered it. Let's be careful in this regard. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to take these three lessons together with us. Inshallah, if we make amal on this, this qurbani will be so barakatful. Without looking for acknowledgement, Allah will make it get acknowledged, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah give me tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.